Hi, good morning. Today we will continue our sermon on the series of the Gospel of Matthew. The theme for chapter 6, I think 2 weeks ago, Dr. Josh T. have led us, like, how to live kingdom life in the real world. He covered the first part, so today we'll cover the second part. The first part is about living our religious life in giving, praying, and fasting. Today we will look into how do we handle money, possession, worries, and anxiety. Some people make a distinction between worry and anxiety. They say worry is something that you kind of know the potential problem. For example, I worry that I don't have money. If I have money, I worry that I'll fail my exam. I worry that I may not able to get the contract that I'm looking for. Well, anxiety is something more general. It's more deep-rooted. You can't really put a finger on what you are anxious about, right? You may not have many worries, but you can still be anxious, right? So there was an article issued by WHO. In 2025, we said that estimated 4.4% of global population currently experience an anxiety disorder. That making anxiety disorder the most common of all mental disorder. So, are you feeling anxious today? Right. I think with the current situation in the world, it does make us feel more anxious. Because we don't know the full impact of the war yet. When will it end? Will it get worse? You know, these are the things that's bothering us. Come, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that we will gain wisdom from your word to live a life that is free from anxiety but filled with hope and joy. Father, we pray that you will give us faith to believe in your words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, today we will learn 3 things about anxiety or worries. All right, I don't make the distinction. So, first, the source of it. Second, the cause of it. Third, how to get rid of it. But before we get into anxiety, we need to know some basic principle of life. So let's read the text. Do not lay up yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is there, your heart will be also. Jesus says, do not lay up treasure on earth. Why? Jesus gives us one reality check and one principle. In the first century, during Jesus' time, their wealth are kept mainly in the form of gold or linen, expensive linen. They don't have the technology to produce pure gold. So their gold can rust because it contains other metal of impurities. To keep all this physical asset, they need space. And because they need this space to keep the kind of money asset, treasure, they invite prying eye to steal and destroy. So that's the context. So Jesus said, this is the reality check. Your treasure on earth is subjected to the 3 D's. Decay, depreciate, or destroy, or lost forever, in a way. Today, we keep our wealth in different form, right? Shares, FDs, properties, EPF, other form of financial instruments. Again, the reality check, the 3Ds apply, it will decay and depreciate. We call it inflation. It also subject to theft. The new form of theft called scams. So don't misread Jesus' intent. Jesus is not discouraging us about saving or asking us to live hand to mouth, right? But Jesus is speaking against one principle working behind the idea of laying up treasures on earth. The principle is this: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this is the first principle we need to learn. Your hearts follow your treasure. Example, people say that after you married for many years, you lost the fire, the passion, right? According to this principle, this is a very solvable problem. Give all your money to your wife. Your heart will come back to your wife, right? Just a tiny cough from your wife, you say, "How are you, dear?" At this moment, the wife will jab the husband. "Where's my money?" Some people say, "Well, I've lost interest in my church. I used to be very fervent, very passionate about ministry, but now it becomes so mechanical and lifeless. My heart is no longer with the church anymore." Again, it's a very solvable problem. Give half of your asset to the church. Your heart will come back to the church. You will attend every business meeting because you want to see where the money goes. By the way, our member meeting is next week. If you are wondering whether you should come or not, give half of your asset to the church. I guarantee you next week you'll be here. Right? So the question is, why are we behave in this way? Because the first principle is at work. Your hearts follow your treasure. And Jesus continued. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Do you notice that the word eye is singular? So Jesus is not referring to the physical eyes that we have, but a spiritual eye, one eyeball. Right? So there are similarities between physical and spiritual eye. If your physical eye is healthy, you'll know how to carry your body or navigate your body. Imagine if your eyes are bad or you can't see, you can't even make it to the door. Right. So our spiritual eyes have a similar function like our physical eye. If your spiritual eye is not healthy, it will affect your judgment, discernment, and navigation in life. Right. So the word healthy, actually there's another Greek meaning to it called single. Right. A healthy spiritual eye is a single focused eye, a single vision eye. It doesn't suffer from double vision when we look at life and reality. So Jesus is recounting what will happen to us if we place our treasure on earth. One, it will affect your heart. Second, it will affect your spiritual eye. It will impair your judgment to navigate in this life. Thus, it will bring darkness into our lives. Darkness here could include sin, secrecy, disobedience, compromises that encourage us to live a double life. The third thing that will affect us, it will affect our service. how we use our hands and labor. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. So either he will hate the one and love, like there's something blocking me. He will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Many Christians believe that they can serve two masters, God and money. But Jesus said, no. You cannot serve. You're unable to. You don't have that ability or capacity to serve two masters. I think Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones gives an excellent example on this. There was a farmer whose cow gave birth to two twin calves. He was so happy. He ran into the house and told his wife and said, thank God, God gave us a twin calves, one white and one brown. You know what? We will bring it up to age, to a marketable age. Then we sell it. The half of the proceed we will give to the Lord. The other half we will keep. Wonderful plan, right? Then the wife asked, which one is the Lord's calf? The white one or the brown? The man said, don't worry. We're going to treat it the same. The proceed will be equally divided anyway. 10 months later, the man looking sad walked into the house. The wife asked him, dear, why are you feeling so sad? The man said, bad news. The lost cow died. Say yo. The question is, why is it always the lost cow die? We are familiar with this kind of thing, is it? We claim that we can serve two masters, but when time is tough, when we have to make some hard decision, it's always God who pick up the bill. The lost cow die. When Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, you don't argue with Jesus. Jesus is always right. So, why do we have all this anxiety? Or what does all this that we learn have to do with anxiety? Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. The word therefore is saying that what has been said that we have learned earlier is connected to this verse. In another translation, NAS, say, for this reason, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So the first principle of life is, your heart will follow your treasure. The second principle of life is, if your treasure is not God in heaven, then your heart will be anxious. It has nothing to do with how much you have in life, but where you place your treasure. When I was younger, I thought that life, if I have more things, I'll be less anxious. What a lie. Over the years, because I'm in business, I know people who are very well-to-do. I can tell you, many of them, almost all of them, are very anxious people. Why? Because as long as you are laying up your treasure on earth, you will be anxious. Because if your treasure is on earth, your hearts will follow. Because if your treasure is on earth, it will impair your spiritual judgment. Because if your treasure is your master, you will be under his bondage. God will not be your master because you cannot serve two masters. So what is the source of anxiety? The source of anxiety comes from laying up treasure on earth. That's the source. But what is the cause? Why people do that? Why do we lay our treasure on earth? Well, we continue. Do not be anxious about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? There's a slight shift in the text. The earlier verses that we have read talk about people who have the extra, the abundance, those who have treasure on earth. They define life in terms of luxury. If you live in a fancy house, that's life. If you drive a fancy car, that's life. If you fly in the first class, that's life. But here we also see another group of people who may not define life around the luxury, but define life around the necessity. Life is about food, drink, and clothing. They don't have huge assets to be worried about, but they worry about tomorrow. Will there be food on my table? That's what they worry about. But either you define life in terms of luxury or necessity, both share the same characteristic. They place their treasure, their hope, and their security in this world. Jesus pointed out three reasons. Three reasons why his disciples shouldn't be anxious or worried about the treasure of the world. The first reason, that we should not be anxious or worried about the treasure of this world because it's unworthy. Most of the people in this world are anxious because somehow the world system managed to convince us that the things, the wealth, the recognition, the dreams are so valuable, if not more valuable than life itself. Therefore, we are willingly sacrifice our health, our mental health, our relationship, our family to acquire all these things. We will grab anything within our reach to throw into the furthest, including our own soul. Because we believe these things that we are running after are more valuable than life itself. Jesus said no. The most valuable thing in this life is you. Therefore, don't trade it for things that are lesser value than you. He says, you are the most valuable things in this world. You. In fact, you are more valuable things. You are more valuable than anything that God has created. Jesus said, are you not more valuable than they? Right? Everything that God created, you are the most valuable. Therefore, Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth and be anxious about it, because you are more valuable than any of these things. Why should we, who are greater in value, be worried about things that are lesser of value? Why? Why should we? It is unworthy. The second reason we shouldn't be anxious about things is because it's unnecessary. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toys nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will be not much more clothed you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Jesus asks us to look at God's creation, the birds of the air and the grass of the field. Jesus said, since God take care of the lower order of his creation, will he not take care of you? The text doesn't suggest that we should stop working and wait for food to drop from the sky. Right? But Jesus was asking us not to be preoccupied or worried about the necessity of life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Let God take care of that part. The central issue of our anxiety is rooted in unbelief. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. The core issue is not that we don't know, but we don't believe that God is real, God is generous, he is kind, he is good, he cares for us, and he knows all our needs. Jesus said, don't be anxious or worried about the necessity of life, right? Because it is unnecessary. Because God is our Heavenly Father, he will take care of us. You do the necessary. Let God take care of your necessity. Got it? You do the necessary, but let God take care of your necessity. And the third reason why we shouldn't be anxious is because it's unbeneficial. It's useless. Jesus asked, which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? The right answer is no one. No one can add anything to your life. Jesus reminded us that the limitation of human achievement. We are created in the image of God. We can do great things. Look at that. Right? But adding an hour to your lifespan is not one of them. There is your limits. Shorten maybe. But to add to it, you don't have that ability. It's beyond your pay grade. So Jesus indirectly reminded us that our lives is in the hand of God. Therefore, no point being anxious about it. Because it doesn't change a thing. It doesn't add to our life nor change its outcome. It is useless, unprofitable, unbeneficial, as far as the world of reality is concerned. If that's the case, we may as well trust God rather than worry about things. We may as well trust God who is in control of everything and have the power to alter the outcome of your lives. Run to him for mercy instead of doubting God, but put your trust in him. Remember that he is your Father in heaven. But you say we are Christian. Why are we still so worried and anxious about so many things? We have God our Father in heaven, but why are we still anxious? The answer is very simple. Because we behave like a Gentile. In this context, Gentiles refer to people who are outside of the kingdom of God. They are not the follower of Christ. If we Christians behave like Gentiles, pursuing the same thing, trusting the same thing, and valuing the same thing, we'll end up having the same problem as the Gentiles, which is anxious about our lives. And the final part is, how do we get out of this loop of anxiety, this infinite loop of anxiety? The answer is in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what is this thing? Whatever we mentioned earlier, will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day of its own trouble. Seek, referring to intentionality. First, refers to priority. The word says life necessity, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. These are our priority. That's how the word taught, how the world taught us. Jesus said no. Your necessity is not your priority. Your priority is to seek first the kingdom of God. As for your necessity, God will take care of it. All of us have a list of priority lists, right? All of us in our lives. Our career, our family, financial targets, when are we going to retire? You know, we have all this one list. God throw it away. Give us another new list. This new list only has one item. That is to seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus' list, God's list is not that complicated. Only one item. Seek first the kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the lordship and the rule of Christ in this fallen world. It's to find ways to showcase the principle of grace, love, purity, and wisdom in our workplace, in our family, in our church. To seek the righteousness of God means to seek having a right standing with God. Is to align your life to reflect the righteousness of God. At minimum, it means doing the right thing, even though that is inconvenient. As it's minimum, means that doing the right thing, even that is disadvantaged to you. The scripture says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that you need, God will add to you. God has already provided all the things that we need. But now, he will add to you. You may think that you are losing out because you stand on the principle of God. But God will find ways to add to you in blessing. Many, many fold. God is no man's debtor. You can never outgive God. You want to be free from anxiety? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's recount what we have learned this morning. Do you notice? When Jesus talked about anxiety, he doesn't seem like dealing with an emotion, but a decision. You notice that? Jesus said, do not be anxious 3 times in the text. You seem like dealing with a decision rather than emotion, right? Today we deal with anxiety, we deal with emotion, right? Jesus is dealing with decision. And Jesus is right. The source of anxiety comes from choices. It started with 2 treasury. Where do you place your treasure? Treasure can refer to tangible things, money, asset, wealth, and also intangible things like status, reputation, recognition, comfort of life. Whatever captures your imagination, your concentration, or your preoccupation the most, that will be your treasure. What causes us to be upset with God if we lose it? That will be your treasure. Or you still can't figure out, I'll give you an even easier test. What is the last thing you think about when you sleep? And what is the first thing you think about when you wake up? And your treasure won't fall too far from this. Right? Got it? Tonight, just before you sleep, consistently, what you think about? And the first thing you think about when you wake up, you write it down, you do a record. And I can tell you, your treasure, it may not be your treasure, but it won't go too far from it. So, 2 treasury. Where do you place your treasure? In heaven or on earth? 2 master. Which master do you say serve? God or money? These 2 decisions will determine the location and the condition of your hearts. If your treasure is on earth, your heart will follow. If your money is your master, your heart will be under its spell. If you violate these rules, no matter what you have in life, you will be anxious. Because the source of anxiety comes from misplacing your treasure. But what is the cause or reason that Christians misplace or intentionally place their treasure on earth? From the text, we learn about 3 reasons. 1, misconception about the value of life. Somehow the world makes us think that things are more important than life. Therefore, we feel that it's worth our sacrifice. It's worth sacrificing our lives to gain the things of this world. That's why we put our treasure in this world. We feel that it's more worthy. The second reason, and God said, and Jesus said, don't do it. Why? Because unworthy. You are more valuable than anything in this world. The second reason is our misconception about God. We fail to believe that God, our Heavenly Father, will provide all our needs. Therefore, we need to rely on our own strength to gather as much food as we can, as the Gentiles do, right? Jesus said, you don't have to. This is unnecessary. Your Father is the creator of this world. Right? This world. He will take care of you. You don't have to do that. The third reason I feel is the most serious, because we are overconfident. We think that we can serve 2 masters, both money and God. Our plan A is to lay out treasure on earth. Our plan B is God. So if our plan A fails, we still have God. Right? Wonderful strategy. The only thing that we overlook in this particular strategy is Have you asked God, is He willing to be your plan B? Have you asked God, is He willing to settle for second place in your heart? Just like you know a beautiful woman. Don't worry, I'll bring it home. I'll ask my wife to step down. I'll install him as a primary. For some reason, this relationship doesn't work out. Why you stand back in? Like a low power hang mo. Right? Your wife willing? We are overconfident because we think that God willing. You know? We think that God willing to take a kind of role. You know? Okay, God, you step me aside. You plan B first, okay? If this thing doesn't work out, okay, you step back up. So anxiety is the necessary byproduct of placing your hope in this fallen world. It's a necessary byproduct. Once you lay up your treasure on this earth, your treasure will eventually become your master. It's a matter of time. And you'll be stuck in this loop of anxiety. The only way to break out of this loop of anxiety is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How do we apply texts like this? I notice every time I encourage Christians to seek first the kingdom of God, they give me an impression that they want to do it, but somehow they couldn't do it because their plate is so full of things. Okay, a typical Christian, our lives consist of three broad areas. Typical. Our family, our career, our ministry. If you are retired, you haven't worked, maybe you don't have the career partner. Right? So this kind of model, kind of cover people like from 25 years old to about 60 years old. For a normal person, at most, you can only do two areas well. If you can do these three area well, you are pretty amazing. Ordinary folks like us, like me, usually you can only choose two out of the three because you just don't have the capacity. So let's do an exercise. Put out your hand, which one you choose. But you can only choose two, okay? I trust you that you're honest, okay? Seek first the righteousness of God, all right? Those who choose to do well in your family life, raise up your hand. Okay, good, good. Those who choose to do well in your career, put up your hand. Hey, remember, you put this one, you cannot put the next one. Okay. Who choose to do well in your ministry? Wow, not bad. For those, we have chosen family and career, or family and ministry. How do you slot in the kingdom of God? Right? It's kind of like, think about it. Like currently, you don't have enough time to sleep. You know, the life is so full of things. You just don't have the capacity. But what I'm trying to say is, this is not what Jesus wants us to do. To slot in another item into our life called the kingdom of God, which you just don't have the bandwidth to do it. This is what Christ expects us to do. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all other things under this, He will add to you. So to seek first the kingdom of God is not an extra thing to do. Extra. But it's the first thing to do before you do any other thing. Got it? It is to prioritize and to surrender to the rule of God in all portions of your life. Let God have a primary say in our family, in your career, in your ministry, in every conceivable area of life. It has nothing to do whether you have the capacity or not. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's a posture of surrender. And seeking is an attitude of life. It's a constant mindset of glorifying God. Everyone can do it at any time, even now. You don't have to wait until you retire or until your children grow up to seek first the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait until that you are financially independent or until you have more time to seek the kingdom of God. I even see people seek the kingdom of God while they are on a sick bed. I'm serious. I see people doing that. They are about to die, and yet they seek the kingdom of God. Nothing is stopping us from seeking the kingdom of God. Not our capacity, not our ability. The only thing that's stopping us from the treasure is the treasure of this world. That's the only thing come between you and the kingdom of God. The idol in our hearts. The root cause, mark this. You can forget everything I've said, but you remember this. The root cause of anxiety is idolatry. Because idolatry is the only thing stand between us and God. The love of our treasure and unbelief. Technically speaking, according to the text, anxiety is a theological problem, not a psychological problem. If you are holding on to your idol, the treasure of this world, you will be anxious. Because the treasure of this world will capture your heart, will darken your vision, you are not able to see God's provision and God's assurance. You'll be anxious about things that's unworthy, unnecessary, and unbeneficial. In a matter of time, the world will be your master. By now, you should know why the Lord's cow always die. Right? I want to invite the worship team. From the text today, we can learn at least four things about God. One, God is real. If God is not real, don't bother to lay out your treasure in heaven. Don't bother. Just pursue the world with all your heart. Second, God is good. God is a good God. He takes care of all His creation, including you, the most precious one. Third, God is in control. You don't need to be worried about this thing and that, because our worry doesn't change a thing. Four, God cares. If God gives His Son to you, would He not give you the things that you need? How silly of us. So are you anxious today? If you are, trace your anxiety. You will find your idol there. Name it and smash it. Let God redeem it, be it your career, relationship, or reputation. Don't misread God. God don't need your treasure. But God wants your heart. God wants you to put your treasure in heaven because He wants your heart. He knows your heart will follow it. God guaranteed that the treasure you place in heaven will not suffer any loss, decay, or depreciation. Once you surrender your hearts to God, He will free you from anxiety. You'll find a newfound joy and find their ways to your hearts. Come, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. What a reminder. Father, today we found the source of our anxiety. Father, we also found the cure for our anxiety, Lord. Father, forgive us for trying to serve two masters. This double life we are living depresses us and exhausted us. Father, we want to surrender all our treasure back to you. Things that we seem so dear to us, that we hold with our hands, Lord. Father, you are the rightful owner of these things, not us, Lord. We are just a steward of your blessing. Be it family, career, health, ministry, money, Lord. We surrender it all back to you. Take it and use it for your glory. Father, release us from the love and the care of this world. Free us from the needless anxiety that's bothering us, Lord, so that we can serve you and love you, Lord. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. As we leave this hall, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. In everything we do, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.